Nice brisk morning today, and everybody's all happy and joyful. Christmas is only 6 weeks away, but don't forget about Thanksgiving in between now and then. Today we talk about how the church thrives as we invest. We spoke about the moving of the Holy Spirit here in our church, and we see people being saved, we see people joining with us, we see wonderful things happening. And we see a vision. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, about the vision that God has given us for this new campus, this new sanctuary, and all the Family Life Center, everything that goes on at the new facility. Over on Chico Park Road, we see those things. That's the vision that God has given us. But that vision requires that all of us are on board to take part. All of us. Not a few, not halfway, but all of us are on board to take part. It's a vision. It's a dream that God has given to us. Not for any one purpose or not, but for many purposes, that God is doing something great and we simply just join Him where He's doing it. That's the key to church growth. Wherever the Holy Spirit is moving, simply join Him where He's at. And He does wonderful things through us. Walt Disney. Walt Disney was a man that had a vision, that had a dream about telling stories through cartoons. Disney was synonymous, basically, with family entertainment. Disney had this vision of not only having a production studio where the artists took part and produced these cartoons that told stories, but he also had a vision of a theme park, some family entertainment where families could come together and just really embrace and enjoy this time and a little bit of what the cartoon was doing. So in 1955, he opened Disneyland in California. And he saw what was going on and he loved it, but there was a problem. You see, in this enchanted kingdom that he was trying to build, there was the mundane problem of hauling out garbage and employees checking in and out right in the middle of it all. He had a vision of doing something better and doing something different. Against his advisors and close friends said, listen, you know, be satisfied with what you have. And he said, no, there's something bigger out there. So Walt Disney bought a swamp out in Florida next to a small town. His idea and his vision was that we have tunnels underground so all the employees can check in and out, and that all the mundane things like hauling garbage in and garbage out can be done out of sight. So that when a family comes to Disney World, all they see is this enchanted kingdom, and they get to leave all the troubles behind out in the world and just enjoy fantasy for a little while without seeing the hustle and bustle of life. So in 1971, Walt Disney opened Disney World. Since 1971, over 800 million people have visited Disney World. 800 million people. Can you see where Walt Disney had this vision way from the 1950s for his first theme park into the 70s for his second theme park? And look at all of the people. Usually it's on the bucket list of families with children to go see, and some of us older folks too. Listen, when God gives us a vision for our own life, for our own church, listen, that vision is what God wants us to do. And listen, there are always obstacles. There will be people who say, oh, you can't do this, you can't do... There will always be those people. But listen, God, when God has put that vision out there, we do what we do. We pay the cost to get there. For us as a church, the vision is growth. You see, if I ask most of you to name anyone who was in the founding on the founding committee or the founders of First Baptist Church of Ville Platte, most of us wouldn't know a person. Matter of fact, most of us probably wouldn't know a person that erected the first building, little white building here on the side. Most of us wouldn't know anyone when they remodeled that first building, too. Matter of fact, most of us, other than a few who were here at that time, probably could not name anyone who was on in the church when this building was built in the early 60s. Most of us couldn't remember anybody who was on in this church when the fellowship hall was built on the side. Because you see, those people had a vision of what God was doing in Ville Platte. A vision. We don't even know their names. We don't remember much about them other than a few pictures that were captured 102 years ago. People had a vision for our church. And listen, they gave. And matter of fact, most of these are all women who gave. They gave and gave and gave for the church to grow. And today, we enjoy almost 1,000 strong in this church. We enjoy the worship center that we have. We've outgrown the worship center of their vision. Listen, those people probably couldn't even imagine what First Baptist Church Ville Platte looks like today. And today, sitting in the pews today, what would church look like 50 years from now? We don't know, but God does. And God has given us a vision to get there, but it requires all of us to be an investor. If you have your Bibles, turn with me if you would. Exodus chapter 36. Exodus chapter 36. Chuck Swindoll said this. He said, "The size of a challenge should never be measured by what we have to offer. It will never be enough. Furthermore, provision is God's responsibility, not ours. We are merely called to commit what we have, even if it's no more than a sack lunch." Exodus 36. A little background on this passage of Scripture. Book of Exodus. The whole story is about the children of Israel being called out of slavery in Egypt when God sent Moses down and he rescued those people through the power of God and led those million plus people across the desert, across the Red Sea, across into the desert. Those people had spent a lot of time, 400 years in slavery in Egypt. Listen, they came out of Egypt, but there was still a lot of Egypt in them. They had accumulated a lot of worship for idols and a lot of false gods. That's what they believed. And God wanted to set them free, not only just set them free, but show them who He is among them. So He led them out into the wilderness. Why did He leave it out into the wilderness? Where they were going to the promised land. But it needed that wilderness time to get a lot of that garbage out of them. Listen, maybe God is leading you through a wilderness time because there are some things He needs to purify you of. There needs to be some things that He needs to get out of your system. Get out of your thought life. Get out of your faith. Never regret going through the desert. Here they are camped at the bottom of Mount Sinai. And here Moses is up. He's visiting with God. God's given him the instructions on building the tabernacle. Now, this is not the temple. This is tabernacle. is a tent that's portable. But God wants to abide with His people, and He wants their focus to be on Him so strongly that He gives Moses instruction. Now, listen, He gives them a detailed instruction of what to do for this tabernacle. Now, Moses takes that information. Now, he goes back to the people, and this is where we pick up. Chapter 36, verse 1. So Bezalel and Oliab and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary or to do the work just as the Lord commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oliab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings of the Israelites. The Israelites had to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings and morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work of the Lord that the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order to them, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they had already was more than enough to do all of the work. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, I thank you for this passage as a reminder to us as your church that, God, when you implant a vision into our hearts, God, that you already have the resources you've just entrusted into our care. And God, that we are the ones responsible for bringing those resources to honor you. God, today I pray that we as a church would unite together to see this vision come to pass. God, that we see the ministry in a greater sense than what we're seeing now. Just as our ancestors, just as many before us have, those great men and women of faith who stood through difficult times, who gave the gifts that they had so that we can enjoy their sacrifice today. God, let us be that people. It is now our time. Lord, I pray that you move us in a mighty way through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are several facts today that want us to gather from this passage that we just read about Moses and the children of Israel on the foot in the camp of Mount Sinai, to help them understand and help us understand how God moves us when he gives us a vision. The first fact is this: there was a dream that was given to Moses by God. God gives us dreams. God gives us visions for things that he wants us to accomplish in our life. Dreams and visions unite people with a common focus for a bright and prosperous future. We see in verse 20 and verse 22 of chapter 35, just a few verses ahead. So the whole community of Israel left Moses, so he's meeting with them. They returned to their tents, and all whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, and for sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. So we see in this chapter, Moses has met with them. He's laid out the plan that God has designed specifically for them. And he gave them instructions exactly what he needed for them. Listen, fine jewelry and gold and bronze and silver and all the jewels and gems and fine materials. All of those things. Now listen, one of the first things we need to ask ourselves, how did those slaves have all of that? How did former slaves have gold and silver and bracelets and all those things? Remember, they were in Egypt. Egypt was a very, very wealthy nation. And when they left, it was nothing to pick up a few things on the way out. Listen, God provided for those people not only a way out, not only with the clothes on their back, he provided goods for them. He provided wealth for them for a particular reason. Why? His tabernacle was going to be built. He was leading them to the promised land. They had everything that they would need in the promised land. But God had already given them provision. God had already gave them the necessary means and materials to build the tabernacle for him. Listen, in our life, whatever God has laid before you as an individual or us as a church, he's already provided the means for us. We just need to step out in faith to do it. God already provides. Antoine de Saint-Esprit said this: "If you want to build a ship, don't herd people together to collect wood, and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea." See, Moses, his job as leader was not only just to teach them, here, these are the things that we need, but to have them to desire God to be with them. the tabernacle was a representative of God's presence, because inside the tabernacle, there behind the curtain was a Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was an Ark of a Covenant. And in the Ark of a Covenant, that's where they believed the presence of God was at. And the people who were sinners could not see and come in contact in the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant. That place was representative of God's presence with the Jewish people. So it was very important that God had established this presence. They needed to see a very presence that they come together to worship. Listen, today in our Christian churches, we can worship anywhere, but we have established a church house. Not that God abides only here, but this is where we come together as a corporate body to worship God. Listen, that is very important for us as people of faith, that we have a location, an establishment. The vision God gave Moses was one of common focus and benefit to all the Hebrew people. Listen, your dreams that God has planted in your soul for your life not only hope have benefits for you, but also for all those who are on the journey with you and all those who will see and benefit from what you do in your life. God's vision requires dreamers to be activists, to be leaders, to draw others in unity for a common good. See, the vision that God has given to you, the vision is there not only for your benefit, for the benefit of others. How will your vision for your own life benefit other people? Listen, when we have a vision that God has given, it's not just about us. It's about all those that we will affect, all those we will impact, all those lives that we will imprint. Pursue your dream with the greater good of others in mind and imprint their lives. And it would leave a mark in their life for generations to come. The vision we have for a new church campus is a vision from God that is bigger than we are. Listen, this is bigger than me. This is bigger than a few people in the church. This is a God-sized vision. When it's a God-sized vision, we have to be desperately dependent upon God to supply all the things that we need to get there, to make his vision come about. Ministry grows and it deepens, has roots. That's what God's purpose is behind. From the very beginning of First Baptist Church, Ville Platte, when it's just a little white building and the majority of ladies who come together who funded this, listen, their vision was to grow God's ministry. That's all it was all along. Grow God's ministry in this community. Listen, that's still the call for us today, to meet people wherever they are in life and lead them to where Jesus wants them to be. That's our call. Jesse Owens says, we all have dreams, but in order to make dreams come into reality, it takes an awful lot of determination, dedication, and self-discipline and effort. It was once said, it's the visionaries that change the world, the ones who are bold enough to chase after their dreams. Those are the ones who shape the world. Will we shape Ville Platte? Will we shape Evangeline Parish? Will we shape Central Louisiana? Will we shape Acadiana through First Baptist Ville Platte? Can we visualize that? Can we see what God is doing? Not only is he moving now, but what he will be moving 50 years from now. Because we stood up and said, yes, God, I'm on your side. I will take part. So they had a dream. The second fact is this, that everyone took part to fulfill the vision. Everyone took part to fulfill the vision. See, dreams are not fulfilled by Long Ranger dreamers. We need one another. Dreams are fulfilled when dreamers create a vision for others to see and lead them to work together to bring the vision into reality. Whatever vision God has even given you for your life, listen, you cannot do it alone. You can't do it by yourself. You need other people who have your back, other people who stand beside you, other people who look at you and says, you're wrong. We need that accountability. We need people who just come around us to help us get where we need to be, to make us better people. We said verse 1 through verse 3, the Lord has gifted Bezalel and Oholiab, and the other skilled craftsmen with wisdom and ability to perform tasks involved in building the sanctuary. Let them construct and furnish the tabernacle. See, he's using people who are good with their hands, just as the Lord had commanded them. So Moses summoned them, and all the others were with specialty gifts by the Lord and were eager to get the work. Moses gave them the materials donated by the people of Israel and sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. See, a God-sized vision requires God's people to catch the vision of what He is doing and simply join Him in His work. That's what it is. It's simply us joining in His work. That He's gifted us in so many ways, and He's gifting us and to help in some aspect of putting His vision into action. See, for the Israelites, this was seeing the need for a tabernacle, hearing the instructions, and then buying into the vision, and then be actively involved in the physical action and the materially working to bring the vision to life. See, if Moses would have presented the vision to the people, and only half of them would have bought into it. Moses came and said, this is the war. This is where God is leading us. God wants us to build this beautiful tabernacle, and here's all the things He wants to do. And only half of the people said, okay, Moses, that sounds great. How can we help? And Moses gave them all the instructions. But then the other half says, well, I don't know about that, Moses. You know what? I've been a slave for a long, long time. I finally have a little bit of money that I took out of Egypt. I have a little bit of thing. I have a little bit of money stored up for me and my family when we get to the promised land. Moses, I really can't help you out. Wait, God gave you those things for the purpose that He knew that this is what He needed you to do. How many excuses did the former slaves of Israel make? How many excuses did they come up with? Lord, you know, Moses, that sounds real good, but you know, right now I really can't do anything. No, see, it took all. It took all the people, the Israelite people coming together, going home and seeing what they found, seeing what they had to take part. Everyone has a part. Listen, it would take all of us for the vision that God gives us. All of us to be involved, to give and to pray and to work, to bring His vision into reality. Everyone, the young, the millennials, the 30-somethings, the middle-aged, the senior adults, everyone will be rewarded greatly by the Lord Jesus. See, not only are we building what God has in store for today and for generations to come, is that when we give, God is also recording that in heaven, that when we cross from this physical life into the spiritual world, Jesus Christ says He has crowns for us. He has rewards waiting us. Listen, that's a retirement that nothing on earth can match. Why? I can envision one day you get to heaven. And you're there spending time with the Lord. You've been spending time with family, and up comes some child that you've never seen before. This young person walking up to you and says, thank you. And you're like, for what? Years and years ago, you don't remember, but you took part in giving for a building the First Baptist Church built. Well, yeah. Well, 20 years after you died, I got saved. And because of the ministry of that church. Listen, you never met that person. They came after you. But because of what you did today, changed their life for eternity. You see, that's the impact that it makes. All of us taking part. When we are so captivated by a vision from God, it will ignite a passion to see it accomplished. In the vision God has for your life, you cannot do it alone. You need other people. Listen, as a church, we need others. We need one another in our relationship to build up, to be stronger, to fulfill the vision that God has given to us. Third fact is this. The people gave habitually. In other words, the people gave on a continuous basis. Visions require an organized, enduring effort of people to habitually give of their time, their gifts, and resources to bring a vision into being. To give continuously. Verse 3 says, Moses gave them the materials donated by the people of Israel as sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. But the people continue to bring additional gifts each morning. The people of Israel were so excited to build their tabernacle. They went home and they began to find stuff. And they began to dig into the treasure that they had taken out of Egypt. They said, oh, look, here's some gold bracelets. Let's bring that because they need that for something inside the temple. And they would bring it. Then the next day, the wife would find a few coins. Oh, let's bring that. Listen, what they did it continuously over and over and over every day. They were excited and motivated to see God's tabernacle built among them. The excitement of the vision, the blessing of the vision, the motivation of the vision, the potential and promise, the divine providence of the vision that God had given the people. And the people realized that everything they owned was a gift from God. Our jobs, that's a gift from God. Our houses, that's a gift from God. Listen, that little black truck I drive around, that's a gift from God. Listen, the seat that you're sitting on, that's a gift from God. Your home is a gift from God. The property that you call is a gift from God. If you're paying rent, hey, you know what? You have the money to pay the rent. That's a gift from God. Everything we have is God's. We're simply the managers. Everything. The Israeli people knew that. Their families, their talents, their trade, their jobs, everything, and especially their faith. They knew that was from God. Listen, Christian, if we say all these other things I worked hard for and you don't give God full assurance of all the things that He's gifted you with, your salvation came from God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Everything that you have, including your eternal life, is from God. Every bit of it. It's gifts. We are the managers of the wealth that God has given to us. The Israeli people were the managers of the wealth that God had given to them. So beyond the physical and material means they were blessed with, the God they serve was their number one. So my question today is the God you serve your number one? Or is your retirement fund your number one? Is your house your number one? Is your career your number one? Is your family your number one? You see, when God is top priority, it's a joy that we can bless Him with the things He's blessed us with. It's a joy that we can bless Him with the things He's blessed us with. I want that to sink in. Thanksgiving is coming up next week. It's a joy to bless God with the things He's blessed us with. When we start holding back, like I'm sure there were a few of those Israeli people who did and went back and said, well, you know, I really don't know. I really don't know this thing, man. I'm thinking for the future. I'm thinking when we get to the promised land, you know, we can build a bigger house. We can do. Then God's not our priority. We've become our priority. So God is not number one. We are. Brother Kevin, how do you know this God vision that you talk about is really from God and not from you? Great question. It's a fair question. Who was the pastor of this church when it was founded? See, most of us probably don't even know. Who was the pastor of the church when they built the little white building? Or most of us don't even know. Now, I hate to pick on my wife, but I just asked her this yesterday. I was working on a sermon. I asked her, I said, who was the pastor of the church when this building was built? Is it deer in a headlight look? And that's a fair look. because that's something we don't talk about all the time. You see, in a few years, nobody will remember me either, because it's not about me. Those pastors before had visions with that congregation of what that church needed to be to meet the needs of the community, and God used them. The next generation that come up, maybe they didn't even remember the ones before that, and they built and added on to a white building. And that they outgrew that, and then they came here and built this. Who was the pastor? I don't know. Does it really matter? No. Listen, when this vision is built, when this sanctuary, this whole campus is built, nobody could care who Kevin West is. Nobody. Except my mama. Nobody. Why? Because the vision is bigger than we are. It's far bigger. Why? Because the only name that remains and the only name that matters at all is Jesus Christ. That's the only name that matters. It doesn't matter if a name is on anything in that building except Jesus Christ. We are here celebrating Him. The vision that God gives is a God-sized vision so that He would get glory, so that His name would be recognized. Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I would draw all men into me. Not if some preacher's lifted up, but if Jesus Christ is lifted up. The Bible says that we're just a mist. We're here for a little while and we're gone. But you know what remains is the impact that we make for Jesus Christ in the people's lives. These people who are here, all these ladies and a few men, and all these, listen, they don't care if you know their name. They just know that care that you know Jesus' name. And that's how we know that it was a God vision for those who came before us. And listen, that's how we know it's a God vision today, that nobody's in it for their name. Everybody's in it for the same thing, that Jesus' name be spread about. Jesus' name be lifted up. That's how we know. And listen, that's why we should give. That's why we should invest. That's why we are the ones who should be said, just like Israel, listen, that's enough. You brought too much. We give because much has been given to us. We use God's gifts for His vision to bless other generations to come. See, when God provides a vision, He will see that His people are equipped and able to see it accomplished. There was a reason that God had given those former slaves the ability to have bracelets of gold and necklaces and rings and cups and all those things out of Egypt. Why? Because they were going to melt them down for His tabernacle. For His tabernacle. Why has God blessed us here with jobs that are paying our bills, that are taking care of all the needs? Listen, it's not for us to get wealthy, but it's for it to bless His kingdom and His service. And church, it's time that we get our focus on that. Fourth fact is this, and I'm hurrying, I'm closing. The people's giving had an impact. When people unite their means and wealth for the mission of a vision, their giving will impact their lives as well as transform reality. Verse 3 through 5 says, but the people continue to bring additional gifts each morning. Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work. They went to Moses and reported, the people have given more than enough with materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do. Could you just picture this? Hear these craftsmen out there chiseling on some wood, you know, maybe have the fires going and melting down the gold and to form it into the furnishings that are needed for what they need for their worship. And here they are stepping over other things that people have brought, kicking the cup out of the way, a cup of gold, kicking it out of the way, so they can come over here to pick up something. Then they have to walk back over and step up. All these things because the people had given too much. Too much. They weren't straining to beg for more. No, it was too much. The people were so excited with the vision that God's presence was with them that they gave too much. Craftsmen said, listen, we can't work like this. We can't continue to work kicking gold cups and silver cups and plates out of the way. So they went to Moses complaining. Moses, tell the people to quit giving. What do you mean? Tell them to quit. Every day they're bringing stuff here again, and we have more than enough. Oh, church, can that be said of us? Could that be said of us? That as we're looking to build this first phase of a new campus, could that be said of us? Or are we going to be the Israelite that goes to our tent and says, listen, I ain't have nothing. He's preaching about money over there, and I don't care. Listen, I ain't going back till he shuts up. And when God is trying to tell you, listen, be a person that gives more than enough. Be that person. Because God is telling you, my name is glorified. His name is glorified. Will we respond with gladness for the challenge before us? We too bring more than enough each month to meet the needs of the vision that He brings to us. Christine Todd Whitman said this, anyone who thinks that they are too small, and this fits for Louisiana, listen close, anyone who thinks that they're too small to make a difference has never tried to go asleep with a mosquito in the room. Jackie Mutchkin said this, it takes each of us to make a difference for all of us. The fifth fact, and I'm closing. I know I said that 10 minutes ago. The people's giving fulfilled the dream. The people's giving fulfilled the dream. It wasn't a hopeful. It wasn't sometime in the future. They made it happen. Are you a person who makes things happen? Or are you just a dreamer? See, dreamers never make things happen until they take action. See, God's vision for His people will become a reality as they embrace His will and invest themselves and their resources in the vision. We see verse 6 and 7. Moses gave the command, and this message was sent throughout the camp. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. Their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. You know the joy that was in Moses' heart the day that he had to walk to the congregation and say, hey guys, don't bring any more. We have plenty. You know the joy this pastor would have if I could stand before you and said, hey, we met the need. Don't bring any more. It's all right. Listen, God wants to use us in a tremendous way. The only way that we, like Moses, can say that it would be completed is if we all take part. See, God is not okay with you fulfilling half of your destiny. He's not okay with you fulfilling a part of it. God is going to make sure you complete what He put you here to do. That God is going to make sure that He equips you and that you finish what He put you here to do. So we look at new church. We look at investors. Listen, I know some of you turned me off. Why? Oh, he's talking about money. No, I'm talking about a vision. If you think this was about money, you've missed it all. Right. You shut me off too soon. It's about a vision. When God gave Moses a vision, it happened. When God gives us a vision for this church to be, it's going to happen. Do we want to take part in that? Because God is putting that on us, that we have the resources to make it happen. What is your resource? Is it $5 a month? Is it $10 a month? Is it $50? I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, Anita and I took our two kids out. Listen, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings. We spent $75 on chicken wings and $15 a tip. And Christian, if you're not tipping those waiters, shame on you. That's how they make their living. A lot of them are college students. Or their single parents at home with kids. Tip them. That's how they make their living. They can't live off of $2.75 an hour. That's what they make, most of them. Then the next week, we thought we were going to do better. So we went right next door to IHOP. Mm-hmm. $75 for pancakes. and a $15 tip. In a matter of 7 days, we spent $180 on wings and cooked dough that I could have made at home for about 10 bucks. I say that, and I'll use us as an example, simply for the reason is we waste a lot of money. We really do. We make a lot of money, and we waste a lot of money. We somehow think we deserve it. But you know what? God deserves it far more than we do. Far more than we do. What about you? Where are areas of your life? Can you just say, you know what? I've been wasting it over here, and I've been wasting it over there. These little cards right here, they're in on the back of your chairs. They're in the bulletin. They're here, these commitment cards. Not next Sunday, but the next. Take this home. Pray with your wife. If you're single, just you and God pray. God, what would you have me do? Listen, if you committed 2.5 years ago to this building campaign, you're holding up to that, nothing needs to change. We have a lot of new members since then. And listen, there's a lot of people who committed then whose jobs change and stuff and have to recommit, maybe for a different amount, whatever God leads you to do. And on that Sunday, we're going to have this box up here, and we're just going to have a time that you can come up and put, listen, Brother Kevin, this is what I can commit to give the long term for this building to take place. Whatever God lays on your heart. But I want you to reflect on how much money do you spend on a soda. If you drink one soda a day at $1.70 for a 20-ounce soda, you do that 30 days a month, you know how much money you just spend on one soda? If you dip Skol or whatever else, you know how much money you're wasting on those things? Listen, we'll pay $75 to $100 to have cable or dish or one of these other networks coming in our house. For what? Isn't your church worth a whole lot more? Isn't the vision that God has given worth so much more for your family than that? Just in comparison, let it be a God thing. Let it be like Moses coming back. Don't. You've given enough. Don't bring any more. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you today for this message.